Good morning. All this hour, we are taking a look at unrest in the Middle East in half a dozen countries there, where we're seeing protests from Northern Africa to the Persian Gulf. And we're joined all this hour by Zachary Lachman, professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies and History at New York University. But we want to go to Israel. There is a major protest underway, we're told, in the city of Ramallah. And John Donison is there. He's the West Bank and Gaza reporter for our partner, the BBC. John, can you tell us what's happening?
Well, I'm not in Israel, actually. I'm in the West Bank, but certainly this is the biggest demonstration we've seen in the West Bank in recent weeks. Probably up to 2,000 people packed into Menara Square here, and they've been chanting Palestine, Palestine, unity. What they want is unity between their political leaders. That is, of course, Fatah, who control the West Bank, and then, of course, in Gaza, you have the Islamist movement Hamas in power. And one of the biggest frustrations for Palestinians is that despite their protests, really, there is a real lack of unity between their political leaders.
Well, we should bring people up to date on some of the headlines coming out of that area. Monday, the Palestinian cabinet submitted his resignation. The president, Mahmoud Abbas, asked the prime minister to form a new government. That followed the announcement that Palestinians would finally get the presidential and legislative elections by September that they've been waiting for a long time. We're also hearing reports this morning that Israeli soldiers have shot and killed three Palestinian men in northern Gaza Strip. Do you have confirmation on that?
There's a lot of things going on. First of all, with those three people killed this morning in the north of Gaza, that I can confirm. The Israeli army shot them. It says they were militants preparing to plant explosives. People in Gaza at the health ministry say they were fishermen. And I don't think we're going to know for some time what happened there exactly. As to the elections and the government resigning here on the West Bank, well, yes. And I think President Abbas has undoubtedly been watching events first in Tunisia, then in Egypt, quite closely. President Abbas, who's in power here, a longtime ally of Hosni Mubarak, he got a lot of support from the Egyptian leader, and he did come out at the weekend and said he was prepared to hold presidential and parliamentary elections later in the year. The trouble is, and this is what this demonstration is all about here really, as soon as he did that, Hamas in Gaza said they didn't want to take part. So a demonstration of a lack of unity. Hamas's perspective is, well, they won elections in 2006, you'll remember, which were widely regarded to be free and fair, and the international community didn't accept that result.
Well, I mean, are we talking about protests, John Donison, that do not involve protests against Israel? Is this a completely internal uprising?
It is internal, actually, and I think that's one of the interesting things for Palestinians, is that perhaps while up to now their protests have been quite muted, is the fact of the matter is that while they do blame their own political leaders for some of the squabbling, overall, Palestinians blame Israel for their situation. Now, the frustrations voiced in Tunisia and Egypt are shared here, so high unemployment, lack of opportunity, disillusionment with their politicians, but overall and overwhelmingly people will say that they blame Israel for that and Israel's continuing occupation.
John Donison, the Palestinian Authority has kept a pretty tight grip on the West Bank. Do you have a sense of why at this moment they're letting this demonstration, which clearly is expressing some criticism towards the leadership, to take place?
You're right, and I think there are divisions within the Palestinian Authority about how to respond to events in the Middle East. There were some demonstrations a couple of weeks ago which were broken up quite violently by President Abbas's security forces. Now, I spoke to someone pretty close to the Palestinian Prime Minister, who's considered a kind of progressive voice in the region, and he apparently went absolutely ballistic when he heard that his security forces were being used to beat and disperse demonstrators. So, and he's actually spoken very positively about the changes happening in the region. So I think there are divisions within the Palestinian leadership about how to handle this, perhaps divisions between different generations. President Abbas is a man, he's in his late 70s, he's of a similar generation to Hosni Mubarak and Ben Ali in Tunisia. And I think, you know, there's a younger generation of leaders coming up saying, well, we need to be doing things a bit differently.
And do you see any sign that this kind of pressure from below will lead to progress in negotiations between Fatah and Hamas?
Well, that's a difficult one. I mean, this has been going on now for more than 3 years. The Palestinian parliament here in Ramallah is under renovation. No law has been passed there since 2007, and that's because of this lack of unity. Now, every so often we hear that Hamas and Fatah are going to get together in Damascus or in Cairo and hold discussions, but it doesn't actually lead to anything. And interestingly, one of the possible impacts from Egypt is that the Egyptians under Hosni Mubarak were key mediators between the two sides. And obviously with events happening there, that could prove to be a distraction for any sort of reconciliation.
That's John Donison, the BBC's West Bank and Gaza reporter. You can hear the sounds of the people going on behind him. Also with us all this hour is Zachary Lockman, professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies and History at New York University. John Donison, last question for you. At this point, the protests are isolated, are they not, to that one location? Or are there a number of different ones going on?
Well, I just want to tell you about something happening here. We've got a bit of scuffling breaking out between police, what looked like possibly plainclothes security men dragging someone away, although I can't confirm that. That seems to be dying down at the moment, someone just being taken off to the side, manhandled by police. If you just go back to your question.
My question was, well, first of all, was the person being dragged off, do you know if it was a protester?
It was a protester, but I don't know who was dragging him off. It wasn't police in uniform, but in the past we've had plainclothes policemen taking people aside.
Well, my question was whether or not these are isolated protests, whether they're just isolated to that one particular location.
Well, this one, as far as I know today, is. There has been demonstrations on a smaller scale in East Jerusalem, and also, I believe, in Bethlehem and the Israeli Arab town of Nazareth. But this is certainly the biggest one so far. And to be honest, when I came along this morning, this is something that was announced on Facebook. I thought there might actually just be a handful of people here, but it's turned out to be much bigger than that.
But at this point, nothing has been done to interfere with communications between the people. We're not seeing the kind of crackdowns on internet and cell phone that we're seeing in other countries, are we, John?
No, not at all, no. And this has been, this demonstration today was organized on Facebook, and people here are certainly getting a lot of their information from across the region on the internet.
John Donison is the West Bank and Gaza reporter for our partner, the BBC, reporting live there. Thank you so much, John. And Zachary Lockman, professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies and History at New York University. I'm just wondering, is it surprising to you that this appears to be an internal protest there in Gaza? I mean, that seems to be the kind of the most striking thing.
There's a lot of discontent with the Palestinian Authority. It hasn't delivered much or anything really in terms of negotiations with Israel. And there's discontent about the fact that the Palestinian national movement is so divided between Fatah and Hamas. And that's a reason for weakness vis-a-vis Israel. Everybody wants to get rid of the occupation, but there's no progress on that. And this movement is more disunited than at any point in the last 40 years.
We were talking with Zachary Lockman throughout this hour as he updates you on what's going on in the Middle East. In the meantime, let's take a look at headlines this morning. Day of Rage protests are set to begin across Libya later this morning. The Gaddafi regime has reportedly begun a crackdown. A human rights group is quoting witnesses who say snipers on rooftops have killed as many as 13 protesters and wounded dozens more. In one eastern town, four protesters were killed in clashes with security forces this morning. We're also watching developments this hour in Bahrain. Armed patrols and tanks are on the streets of the capital now, and Apache helicopters are buzzing overhead. Overnight, riot police moved into Manama's main square, firing rubber bullets and tear gas on the thousands of protesters sleeping there. At least three protesters were killed, more than 300 injured. And this morning, the streets of Yemen's capital are also the scene of violent clashes between pro- and anti-government protesters. This morning, Al Jazeera reports an influential group of clerics in Yemen is calling for the president to step down. Checking in on the markets, Asian and European markets are up right now. Futures are down. The Dow will start at 12,288, the S&P at 1,336, the NASDAQ at 2825. Well, we always want to hear what you have to say about anything you hear on the program. Reach us by phone, email, or Facebook at facebook.com/thetakeaway. More coverage on the protests throughout the Middle East all this hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.